I know this is a praise message, but I think that there are at least one person, I feel like the Lord says today, you need to open your hearts and receive this. Because it's a reminder to you that in the midst of battle, you are not alone. You are not alone. I'll say that again. You are not alone. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Exodus 17. And we're going to start in verse 8. And it's a very short passage of scripture, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. And it says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand.' So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of a sword. And then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek under heaven.' And Moses built an altar and called its name, 'The Lord is my banner.' For he said, 'Because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.'" Power is released after I start expecting. After I start expecting. So when did Moses have expectation? When the rod was at his side, or when his hands were raised with the rod? Someone tell me. When they were raised, right? That's when the expectation came. And we can see power was released. Because what happened when his arms came down and it was too heavy? They began to be defeated. Somebody tell me, what is this a symbol of us? Praising God. Are you listening today? This is a symbol of praising God. It's also a symbol of victory. When there's victory in the camp, the hands go up, right? The shouting begins. This right here is a statement of faith. Are you listening to me this morning? But I also want you to see something. When it gets to verse 12, it says, "But Moses' hands became heavy." But see, God always knows in advance what you have need of, even before you speak it. Whew. And he provided one for the left and one for the right, so that Moses himself would have the help. Someone in here needs to listen to this. You are not in this alone. If you will look, God has provided the one for the left and the one for the right in your life, in those moments when you feel like it's too heavy. You can't do it anymore. God says, yes, you can. Look to your left and look to your right. Let those I have put in your life raise your hands back up and let them hold them there until you have the victory. That is what the church is about. That's why we can't stay home and watch online things and let that be our community. I'm sorry if that's what you think, but that's wrong. You need a physical person on your left and on your right that can grab your hands and say, guess what? I will help you raise your hands. Are you listening to me this morning? Power was released, not just for Moses. You have to know. You have to know that the Israelite army and Joshua kept doing this. Looking back, right? They're looking back. Are his arms raised? Because last time his hands were down, we lost a few guys. So I'm looking. Are his arms raised? Are his arms raised? Guess what? People around your life are still looking. Are they still praising God? They've been through this stuff, man. These things have happened. They're still got their arms raised. They've got their arms raised, and even though they've gone through this stuff, they're winning. They're winning. And look at the people around them. They're winning too. They've got a community. I want to be a part of the winning, right? I want Redeemed Church to say what President Trump said at his speech. We're winning so much that we don't know what to do with it. I'm just saying, where is your expectation? I want the expectation of you, not just Pastor Steve and I. We don't raise up a church of people that we do everything for you. That would be a terrible pastor. You know why? Because it doesn't say that I'm supposed to lay hands on all of the sick people all over the world. When he gave that great commission, guess who he gave it to? Take your finger and point right here at yourself. He gave it to all of us, every one of us, right? So we all have to be on fire. Are you listening to me? We have to be the ones to say, yes, we will do this. So we don't raise up wimps in this church. We give you the word. We give you tools to be able to use the word. We teach you how to pray. We teach you how to say things. We teach you how to speak, yes. We teach you what the word says, yes. But up to you. It's up to you what you do with it. Amen? And so Joshua has this select. I love the Lord. It didn't take everybody. He just said, choose some men to go out and battle with Amalek. What does that tell us? That the enemy that looks like he's so big is not. He is not. And if you will live your life in an attitude of praise with your hands raised, there have been times in my life I couldn't actually even say anything because it felt so heavy. But you know where my hands were? This is it. It's all I got. But you know what? With this, I believe you are defeating the enemies that are in front of me. And then after this happens, then something triggers inside your body. All of a sudden, you're, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It just grows, right? It's like it releases something inside of you. But power was released when they started expecting, and Moses was in an attitude and a literal placement of his body of praise with his arms raised. This is how we should live. This right here, not groveling, not down in the dumps. If you're down in the dumps, raise your hands anyway, right? And remind yourself, I'm walking through this. I'm not building a house here. Because there are things that are going to happen in our lives that are going to bring those emotions, but it's what we do with it, right? Don't camp out there. No, keep moving. Even if it feels like it's, you know, mud and muck that you're walking through, you keep walking. That's the faith part. Amen? And as long as his hands were raised, they won. And I love this. Write this in a memorial book and recount it to Joshua. What was he telling him? Write it down so he doesn't forget what I've told him. If the Lord's given you a promise, write it down. It should be like on your refrigerator, on your bathroom window. You know, you can make fun of me all you want, but I got scriptures all over the house. Why? Because I want to be recalling. I go, oh, I remember that verse. That one went for this. We have this verse that the kids did like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. It's still in the front door. But every time I see it, I'm like, yes, their peace will be great. I know that word is in them. Amen. You recount those things. And then what does he say? Because this enemy in verse 14, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And if you look back up, it says, I will utterly blot out the remembrance. That enemy that you're facing, the Lord wants to utterly blot it out of your life. I don't know about you, but that's reason to rejoice. That's reason to praise. So in your finances, get your checkbook out. And it may seem silly, it may feel silly, but we do a lot of silly stuff anyway, right? We do a lot of ridiculous things anyway. Why not purposefully do one that's going to help you? I'm just saying, right? Get out your checkbook before you do it. Lord, here I am. Are we ready? We're going to defeat debt. We're going to defeat lack. I'm going to have more than enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this debt that I see today is going to be destroyed and I will never see it again. Hallelujah. Then put your checkbook down. Then open it up. Then go through it. Something happens when we have expectation. And the same is true in your finances. So don't just go into it and go, oh, Lord, I'm going to turn the page. Are you ready? Oh, okay, well, oh, no. Don't do that. No, you be victorious. You flip that page and say, it doesn't matter what I see right here. When I get done paying all my bills, there'll be stuff left. And I can tell you I've done that. I've done that in my lifetime before, where I don't know how it added up to that because I did the math 3 times. And I still ended up with something afterwards. And in my mind and in my adding over here, that should not have happened. But I didn't question. I said, thank you, Jesus, I'm a tither, and you have provided. Amen? Because he can do that. He can provide in ways that we don't know when there's expectation. Amen? So don't be defeated about your finances. Get them out, raise them up, shout hallelujah, praise the Lord over them. And then know, as you are praising, power is released to go forward and break through. Amen? So you are not alone. Let me say it again. You are not alone. God has someone for your left and your right to help to hold you up. You don't have to go at this alone. Amen? And then let's praise our way to breakthroughs. How about that? How about we just praise our way until that enemy that we see today, we never see again. Because the Lord is utterly, I love that word, utterly. Just gone. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offering this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness in this word today. I pray, Father, you would encourage people that when they get in those moments and they feel alone and their arms are tired, remind them, Holy Spirit, to look to the left and look to the right for those that you have to come alongside them and help them. And help us to be willing to have the help. In Jesus' name, help us to be willing. We're not made to go this alone. That's why we're the body of Christ. And I pray that we would lean on our body, knowing that we're not just leaning because we're telling sob stories. They're going to be there with us to fight and be victorious. And I pray, Father, over everyone's finances today. I pray, Father, for an anointing on this week. This week on finances, Father, as people begin to do their first of the month, I pray, Father, they would get them out as a wave offering unto the Lord, that they would praise you before they do them. And when they do them, there will be more than enough left over, more than enough for every good work, exceedingly and abundantly above. And you will give us wisdom for what to do with that. And we praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness today. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
God's got a word for us, so let's pray and receive it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you this morning for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to respond to what your Spirit would say to us today. Thank you that you always have a fresh word for us today, for today. And we give you the praise and glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Well, we're concluding the series that has been titled Go for Gold. Amen. The Olympics have wrapped up. The Super Bowl's happened. We're heading now toward like March Madness. Yesterday, one of our connecting flights, we had to stop in Phoenix. And I was kind of torn a little bit because it's spring training right now. And I thought, boy, if this flight would just get delayed by a day, we could, but then I wouldn't be here, right? This is way more important to be, but man, we flew over and it was dark and the spring training games are all during the daytime. But we could see, gosh, probably 3, 4, 5 of these small ballparks still lit up. One, I think, was the Dodgers that they use, the palm trees. Oh man, it was like, oh, look at this, that's the best. So it was like, and we got in the airport and there's people, all of them with their, you know, baseball jerseys on that went there to see spring training. They're at spring, somebody say training, right? Getting ready for the season. And there was a lot of sports yesterday at the airport. I know not everybody's into sports, but I happen to be, and this is a kind of a sports themed series we've been on. comparing with going for the gold with Jesus, of course, right? But we saw a lot of sports teams there. And there was like girls teams, like probably girls basketball team, all in the same sweat outfits and waiting for their airplanes, and just hundreds, probably actually thousands of people. When we flew out of Colorado Springs, Colorado Springs is a small airport. And so we went from that basically being one of the only planes that was leaving at that point. It's not like there's, you know, section A through B or C or D or E. It's like, no, it's just gate 1 through 12. That's it. And then you land in Phoenix, and it's thousands of people roaming around and all that. But everybody got there on their mission. But just seeing the ballparks and just being around that atmosphere, there's just kind of a buzz in the air, right? Everyone's competing, improving, training. And it's just an inspiring thing. But Jesus, how many know, wants us all to go for gold? Amen? And he is the ultimate champion, isn't he? Amen. Carmen's got a song called The Champion. And kind of based off of the Rocky series, you know. But how many know Jesus is the champion? He is the gold standard. And one of the teachers this past week... from Andrew Womack's staff, I think his name was Pritchard, something like that. But he was ministering on finances and just how money works, basically. And one of the things he was talking about was the value of gold right now. He was talking about, you know, a few different things that affect finances, like investing and real estate. And gold and silver, particularly. And he was talking about how gold right now is extremely overvalued. Like it's like $5,000 an ounce, which means it's about to drop. So his point was, not a good time to buy gold right now. He was talking about the real estate market and how right now is a great time to be thinking about real estate because the rates are going to be dropping and the value of homes is going to be dropping. So both of those things are going to be hovering kind of low. And that's the time that he was going over all these things, right? But the value of gold, he said, has never been higher right now, which is not a good time to buy it, right? He said it's about to come down. But how many know Jesus, the ultimate gold standard, is the highest? And he's not dropping. He stays exactly the same. And he is the gold standard. And he's the one that we're all, you know, the idea is that I become more like him. Not that he lower himself to my standards, but that he lifts me up to his standards. Amen? And that was a lot of the theme this past week. What I heard God lifting us up in his love. There's a lot of emphasis on the love of God, reminding everybody of how much our Father loves us. Jeremy Pearson's really is on that right now in his church. I think it's called the Fearless Family. He's talking about on Wednesdays, emphasizing the love of God in the family and in our relationships. And he's talking about where is love getting in to remove fear, because perfect love casts out fear. So Jesus is the door. He is the love. And when love comes in, fear goes out. Right? And he was talking about being the door for someone else to introduce them to love himself. Amen. The gold standard is Jesus. Amen. And our foundation text has been 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Somebody say, go for gold. Amen. But in a great house, man, we saw some great houses this week. Amen. And I've only been to Colorado one other time. And I've never seen Colorado Springs. Beautiful, beautiful terrain out there. Different, way different than here. It's like basically a high desert and rock formations, and they have the Pikes Peak. I personally think Mount Hood is way cooler, but Pikes Peak is way higher. I mean, we were sleeping at the probably about how high Mount Hood is. But amazing terrain and these big houses that are on like a bluff so they can see the rocks. it was remarkable. And there are some great houses out there, right? In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. How many of you want to be sanctified and useful for the master, right? And it's and this is the main emphasis of this message is that I choose. God does not choose Steve to be a vessel of wood or clay or silver or gold. No, Steve chooses that. We choose that ourselves. And we can cleanse ourselves from the wood and clay mindset and choose to become a vessel of gold or silver for Jesus. Amen? And 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27 talks about a race. And this is, again, the Apostle Paul. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Not everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, or everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And I noticed something yesterday in the airport. I was kind of hoping maybe we'd see a Major League Baseball player wander around the airport, but I didn't see any of them. You know what they're doing? They're training. I didn't see them in the restaurants eating stuff. I saw all the fans that were wearing their jerseys. Like this one guy had Ohtani, a lot of Dodger fans last night. And one guy had it, and we're like, look, there's Ohtani. That ain't Ohtani. That is not, that's, he's wearing Ohtani's shirt, but that is not Ohtani. Ohtani is a vessel of gold. I don't even know if that guy could play at a clay level, that guy. But he wears his shirt, but that's not Ohtani, right? How many know Jesus is calling us to a higher place where we're not just hanging out, you know, wasting time, being lazy? It takes training and effort and intent to go after the gold. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do, is to go for gold in him, right? Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Amen. And we've talked it throughout the 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've emphasized words that also tie in with sports and athletics, like strength. Somebody say strength. Get a message on that. We talked about endurance. We talked about mindset. Amen. We talked about study. Last week we talked about pursuit. And today we're going to wrap it up with everybody's favorite word, humility. Well, Pastor Steve, you said go for gold. That sounds kind of arrogant. No, that see, God's definition of humility is not the same. See, Christians shouldn't take vows of poverty. That's what this minister at, I wish I could remember his name. It'll come to me and I'll share it with you at another time. But he's been on Andrew Womack's staff for many years. And he's got a lot of people around him that love God and a core around him that understand money. And if you see that place, oh my goodness. Oh my. There are not many places, I don't think, like this on the planet, right? Just the buildings and the structure and the college and the Andrew Womack Ministries branch and the television branch, all these things. Two words that I thought of were very so professional and yet so personal. A lot of times you have one or the other. Very professional, but not personal. Very personal, but boy, not professional. Oh, man. And these people are like a shield around this ministry. And it's just remarkable to see what God is doing. But he was speaking to us, and I noticed that during his segments, during this guy's particular, the crowd kind of thinned out a little bit. let's just pray in tongues and talk about the Holy Ghost and run around and shout. No, he was talking about what the Bible says about finances and money. And all of that. And one of the things he said was, you know, to get things done around here, if you can notice around here everything that's going on, we're going to need some of you to get rich. Anybody willing to get rich for Jesus? Right? How about you? You willing to get rich, to be rich for God? Wow, man. I mean, remarkable, remarkable. Well, that doesn't sound humble. Oh, yeah, apparently, I think just serving God, declaring He is Lord of my life, that's an act of humility. And if He wants to bring me up, which is one of the recurring themes that kept coming up this week and that God was showing me, right, was He's bringing me up, literally. I don't particularly care for flying. And just the whole idea of trusting God, to me, that's one of the most greatest examples to me of trusting God is getting on an airplane, right? Yesterday, coming out of Phoenix, was our fourth flight, right? I laid hands on the plane, and I said, in Jesus' name, Lord, bless it. And there was this stewardess, flight attendant standing there, and she goes, oh, for good luck. I said, no, ma'am, that was the blessing of God on this plane, and there's a difference. It's better. Yeah. I just walked on, right? That might have sounded a little arrogant. No, it was the truth, especially when my life is on the line and other people's lives are on the line, right? And I know we're in good hands with Jesus, but yeah, bless it. Apply the blood, right? God is, and just the idea that planes taking you up off the ground, oh man, our second flight was the most adventurous because we flew into Denver, and then from Denver we had to fly to Colorado Springs, which is airport to airport about 100 miles. Now just think about that for a minute. Getting on a full-size Southwest jet and flying from Portland to Seaside. There was a lady in line behind me, and she was on her way home from Seattle, and she lives in Colorado Springs, and she goes, oh yeah, it's 22 minutes. What? 22 minute flight, and it's windy, you know, and Luke timed it. We're like sitting on the plane, and Luke's like, Dad, this is going to be about 20 minutes. We will never forget. And so, as soon as the wheels left the ground, he hit start, and when we touched down, 19 minutes later. And the pilot comes on, and he's like, you know, we're not going to be unfastening our seatbelts on this trip. There will be no snacks, right? He said, just sit back and enjoy. We'll be on the ground in about, he said 22, 23 minutes, 19 minutes later. And he said, we're not going to be going above 10,000 feet. Can you imagine this? Getting on a Southwest jet and flying from here to Seaside, 500 miles an hour, 10,000 feet. And it was like, woo, Jesus, yo, Jesus. Gee, it was like a Disneyland ride, you know? I'm praying in tongues, man. Really, I mean, it was just one of those things you don't forget. But it was, again, a lesson on, I'm lifting you up. I will bring you where you need to get safely. You have to trust me in these things. It was a great lesson on trust for Steve. A lot, right? Amen. So that idea of God is lifting me up. If I lift Him up, He will lift me up. And a lot of lifting up means I have to let go and just trust the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But this humility in God. And the example I wanted to use for humility, we've used a lot of athletes this past couple months. Mia Hamm. Let me just read to you a little bit about her, just kind of the championship pedigree. By the way, in the airport again yesterday, I saw a lot of athletes. Some of them were girls or women's college sports. And you know what I noticed? They were all women. Right? How many know men have no place in women's sports? How nuts is that? Oh, man, I loved President Trump's State of the Union address this past week. I had to send an email to Patty Murray, one of our senators in Washington, because she sent an email, and I just happened to glance at it during the business day, and she said, I want you all to know why I will not be at the State of the Union address. Oh, my word, these people. When will they wake up and just do their jobs? And here's why. And her opening thing was how Trump's just going to talk about himself. His favorite topic is himself. All he's going to talk about, and I just shut it down. And I replied to the email with a statement, and it got sent back. Couldn't reply. So I have on my phone the state capitol or the national capitol. So I called and I read what I wrote. Right? I was just like, Miss Murray, you are a senator. I don't know exactly how I said it, but the nutshell is, if you represent me, you'll be there tonight. I'm tired of this childish behavior from your party. Throwing fits when things aren't going your way. I did not vote for Biden, but if I were a senator, I would have been there to respect the office and do my job, right? And I sent it, and as the day went on, you know, I normally don't watch the whole thing all the way through myself. And it's like, I just lectured her on being there, so I'm going to watch the whole thing myself. And oh my goodness, what a man we have in office. Glory to God. And he talked about the victories and all things going on, but he spent the majority of the time talking about other people. And they were there. And the good things and the challenges they've faced and how they brought through and the plans. And he brought us together, man. And he drew I don't know about you, if you watched it or not, but we won't call you Democrats. But the Democrats were over here on his side and the Republicans are on this side. And he said, in one part of his statement was, he said, if you are here and you believe it's more important to protect American citizens than people that are here illegally, stand up. And hardly anybody on the Democrat side stood up. And it was just such a great illustration. But one of the things he also talked about was this whole transgender thing. And he had a young lady in the audience that thought she was a boy for a while, and her parents actually wanted to help her, and the government interfered, and a judge wouldn't let them pull her out of this. They put her like in some crazy all-boys home, and she went through a lot of trash there. And she came out, they got her back, and she's now this beautiful young lady. And he was talking about how crazy that is and how we need to help our kids. Standing ovation, everybody but the Democrats, again. And I love him. I love the guy because he says so much without saying anything. And he just looks at him, he's like, and finally he just goes, you guys are crazy. And he just keeps going right. I love the man. But women's sports is just another example that women ought to just have women's sports. Amen. No men out there competing with women. It's just bizarre, isn't it? Hallelujah. But Mia Hamm, and now back to the message, right? It's all part of the message, right? Mia Hamm, born March 17th, 1972, she's a little bit younger than me, is an American former professional soccer player, two-time Olympic gold medalist, and two-time FIFA Women's World Cup champion. That is the best of the best in soccer, right? And I don't follow soccer super close, but there's certain people in certain sports that I know, I've heard of them. A household name. She's a household name in soccer, right? But nowadays, again, a lot of even women's sports have gone the way of nuttiness, where they emphasize lesbian stuff and women acting all tough. Well, this is not who this person is, right? She's great, and she's a woman, right? And there's still those people, but you know what I'm saying, right? It's just one of those things we have to confront and just talk about it, say what the Word of God says about it, and vote that way. Don't vote for people that think men can compete with women and other this nutty stuff, right? But Mia said this, because I was searching. You know how hard it is to find a humble statement from an athlete? Like Muhammad Ali said something like, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as me. Right? And yeah, he had. I guess he can say that, right? But I loved this statement from Mia Hamm. She said, many people say, I'm the best women's soccer player in the world. I don't think so. And because of that, someday I just might be. Amen? What a great attitude. So that's just a great example of humility while you're competing. Just to not go out there thinking that I'm better than everybody else. And we have to watch that in ministry. We have to watch that in business, whatever we're doing. is to not go out there with the attitude. And that's one thing that just emanates from Andrew Womack. One of the things, he had a lot of these funny little sayings that he'll say. And one of the things that he said was, if you're all wrapped up in yourself, you're a small package. Right? That's just his heart. That's everything is about serving other people and giving and generosity. And they actually gave us several books and a couple DVDs, and because we're now a partner church with them as well. And so we brought a few things that are on the table back there for you. If anybody wants to take any of that, you're welcome to. But that's just what emanates from him. Amen. And Paul said this in 2 Timothy, we're going to come back to that in a minute. Paul said this in 2 Timothy 2, 24-26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility. Somebody say in humility. Correcting those who are in opposition. See, some people think humility means just listening to everybody and just going along with it. Well, that's not humility. Right? If you're truly a humble person and you're a servant of the Lord, you're gentle, you're able to teach, it means you're teachable, you're patient with people, then when someone does need to be corrected, you're just the person to do that, to bring that word, right? Or with your lifestyle or whatever, right? In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn to, the next one is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, but first I want to look at, and this, we'll see, this might be where we tap off for the day, but something that Andrew Womack taught this past week, and again, it was so much, yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll start with this scripture, and I want to share you a little bit deeper. Because the Lord really touched me this week. But 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. And when you hear, because we heard, he was there the entire time, Andrew Womack, you know, kind of coming in and out, doing offering things and sharing testimonies. And he wasn't an absentee leader. He could have just been the figurehead and showed up when it was his time to speak and never been around. But that's not who he is. And one of the, as he was teaching, it's so great to see. I love seeing these, you know, ministers who have done a lot over the years, and they're kind of see them in their element. You know, it's one thing when they come to you, but when you go to them and see them in their on their home court, so to speak, it's another level, right? It was just so cool just watching him. I mean, he'll just come start talking to people, and all of a sudden the Bible's in his hands. Like, where'd that come from? It's like he's got it in his back pocket. It's a small little red Bible. And he'll start, and it's like he's got a concealed weapon, you know? And he'll just start going. And I mean, he rattles off scriptures like just bang, 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 bang. And the person that's out putting them up on the screen just has to keep putting them back up. Because he just go, 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 go. It's like there's no, they don't know what he's going to say next. But they're so in sync, you know. But one of the things that jumped out at me was he talked about I'll get it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. I'm going to have to actually use this tissue box today. By the way, they have these same tissue boxes on their rows, and I think there were some men that were tearing up here and there, big tough guys, right? But 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10, Paul again, which has been our biggest, apostle, Bible hero example of this entire series, because that's just who he is, right? Because of his heart. But just the last part of that verse, he says, "For when I am weak, I am strong, then I'm strong." And a lot of the emphasis this week was getting out of your own way. That we limit God by thinking of ourselves way too much, right? And it can be on the positive or the negative of I'm all that or I'm trash. Because both of them have to do with me thinking about me way too much. And when he said, I'd never thought of this scripture this way before. When I am weak, then I am strong. In other words, if I'm not thinking about myself much anymore, then I'm strong. And you know how sometimes you go on a trip and you forget something? Where you like leave something and you go, oh man, I forgot whatever it was. I really believe that I left part of me up there. And just that part that is way too concerned with me. I believe that a part of me died in the mountains and was left there. Because it had to be, you know? And you can read that last chapter on your own time, 2 Corinthians 10. It's great. But this is where the Holy Ghost wants us to think right now. When we'll have this out here in just a couple minutes, but let's get past the emotion of it here. But when we went to Pike's Peak, you know, and I talked to you about the elevation up there, where you just, at times you just get winded and you don't realize it, but you're like, oh yeah, and they would tell you that, like they have like a slide, and they even remind you, hey, remember to drink lots of water, just don't over-caffeinate, get good rest, because the elevation does affect you up here, you know. And we noticed that right away, right? And so we had a few hours to ourselves on Thursday, and we uh, we drove to the as close as we could to the top of Pikes Peak. So you just keep going higher and higher and higher. And we stopped at Walmart there and bought, they told us to get a couple, the guy at the rental car place at the airport said, if you're not used to this, you might want to stop at Walmart and they actually sell oxygen. That sounds like a scam, doesn't it? Well, we had a revelation, right? So they're just basically aerosol cans that you, a little mask on it, and you just, and then you breathe it in, right? And we decide, well, let's get a couple of those first, and then let's go even higher. Let's just start driving up Pikes Peak. And it was like, 9,000 feet, 9,500 feet, 10,000 feet, 10,500 feet, and you just keep going up, 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 up. And we'd get out and take pictures and walk around and be like, whoa, wow, we get the most, and your lungs just relax, And at the highest part, the peak was actually closed, the final 2,000 feet, because it's too windy and icy right now. But we got up to probably close to 12,000 feet. 12,000 feet. Luke was so funny, he's like, Dad, we're up higher than we were flying here. Because we flew at about 10, 11,000 feet. We're probably 12,000 feet right here, right? And it was just so great taking pictures. But at about the 11,000 foot level, there's like this huge body of water. And there's some things to read. And it says, Colorado Springs is pretty much desert. They get maybe 10 inches of rainfall a year. So the water comes from the melt of all the snow, and it's this beautiful, clear, blue water, and it was just completely iced over. Just beautiful, spectacular. And the Lord reminded me, He was tying all these things together with me, right? And He was like, the higher up I call you, the less you'll be able to rely on your own capabilities. You won't be able to, right? And the more you'll have to trust me. But a lot of the water that comes to the people comes from that melt. They pipe it. He was like, I want to feed a lot of people and water a lot of people. And the only way I'm going to do it is if you come up here higher, where the water is deep and crystal clear and pure, and I will water the masses through what, and that's exactly what I see in Andrew Womack. And it's symbolic of literally where they are geographically. In the mountains. And they are literally watering millions, potentially billions of people through that ministry. But that's what was my biggest takeaway, was you just need to die to you, get over thinking about what only you can do, and get beyond you, because what I want to do is beyond what you can do. And that's what a lot of the theme came back to, was if you're just depending on what you can do, you're limiting God and what He can do. So that step of faith, because there's a fear factor in there, but it came back to trusting in the love of God and just taking another step. But a part of me was left there. That needed to be left there. Because I got to a place where I couldn't breathe a couple ways, right? And it just was a reminder that we have to get higher and higher with God, going deeper and deeper in our reliance with Him. And that's another thing that Brother Andrew said, was he said, a lot of people just think I'm this great man of vision, this great man of vision. He goes, it's not about vision. He said, you know what my vision is? Fellowship with Jesus. Every day, that's my vision. And all everything that you see here comes out of that. And right after we met him, you know, they were starting the service and worship was amazing and some announcements. And then they introduced him and everybody just, you know, every time he would come up, people would give him a standing ovation, just such respect. And, you know, you're not praising a man, but he got up there the first night and just lifted his and directed it all back to God and just got quiet. And I mean, you could feel the presence of God tangibly. Just a weighty, heavy, just when he started to speak and just had his hands up. And he just opened the altar space and basically said, anybody that needs to get free of anything, come up to the front, right? And I went up, my boys went up. I think most everybody went up. And I took a knee and I just said, I'm free. I'm leaving Steve at the altar. And yeah. So I think it's just an opportunity for all of us to just come to that place with God. You don't have to go to Colorado Springs to have that experience. Just somewhere he took me and my sons. And we're changed because of it. But it's really Jesus who is the change. Like he emphasized at the end of the event, he said, you know, we potentially reach millions, even billions through what we do. But he said, there's people that God called you to reach that I'll never reach. Right? So we just have to determine in our hearts to just lay I aside. And for me, I was telling my sons, I was like, the biggest thing with me is the whole debasing myself mindset, right? And that may come from religion or whatever, but it's just as prideful as being arrogant. Because why? Because it's about me. Why I don't measure up. And that's what he was emphasizing, was either you say you're all that or you're trash. And we just have to, he said you need to have what's called, he calls it a Christ esteem. A Christ esteem. And he talked about we are spirit, we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. And he said when you get saved, your spirit, he talked about, he was critical of the whole baby Christian thing. He's like, there ain't no such thing as a baby Christian. When you get born again, your spirit man is completely renewed, one with Jesus. And your soul and your body are what, you know, he said your body ain't changing. He said your soul is where the renewing happens. But he said, he kept saying, one third of me is wall to wall, Holy Ghost. He talked about the importance of praying in the Holy Ghost and focusing on our relationship with Jesus as priority one and getting over ourselves. Man, that just, you know, that's just life-changing for me. Hallelujah. When I am weak, and let me tell you, when we the higher we went, the more I realized I'm running out of Steve. That's why on airplanes they go through the whole routine of the, you know, if the thing drops out of the ceiling, put it on, right? Because there's no air up there. Now you're way beyond you up there, right? But he's calling us to those places where we just have to rely on him. And when we get there, he's going to water the masses and bring water to people that are dying of thirst. That whole region down there, it looked like driving around the neighborhoods and things, it looks like it does here, like in September. Everything's brown. The grass, everyone's grass, brown, you know, because there ain't no water, right? And that just really, really moved me. Amen. So I feel like I left the eye on the mountains. In Jesus' name. Amen. So glory to God. That's we'll pray right now and just commit this to the Lord. Amen. So time with Jesus. There's nothing that replaces that. Nothing that replaces that. And just so many guys that we met there and their staff, their Charis Bible students were helping. Such a great, great thing. One minister I kept bumping into, little African-American guy and his son. He's probably, his son might have been my age or a little younger, and he had a little grandson. He kind of reminded me of Bill Winston a little bit. I just kept bumping into him. And we'd talk to each other, you know, and the other day, it might have just been yesterday, I said, you know what? I just came up here to get the fire and take it back. And he looks at me and he goes, you wouldn't be here if you didn't already have the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we all stand up and just lift your hands and just say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. I bring myself and I just lay myself aside and I'm just going to focus on Jesus, because I know when I am weak, then I am strong. And I would present to you that that is humility. That is humility. That's the heart God is looking for. Total reliance upon Him. Not trying to pack it all onto ourselves and prove ourselves. No. We trust Him. We rely upon Him. I was reminded I rely on Him for every breath this past week. Hallelujah. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we present our lives to You. We lay them down at the altar. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives, not us, not our agendas, not our gifts and talents and callings. And our biggest calling, our calling, our purpose is to know You, to fellowship with You, to hear what You say, and then go do it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And that's what we commit our lives to do. Somebody just say that. I commit to know You, Lord, to fellowship with You every day. And I'll be quick to give You all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name. Just say, water Your people through me, sir. Water Your people through my life. Let me be a spout where the glory comes out. But it ain't about me. It's all about You. And we'll give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.